Now, this truly sounds like the right direction. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And as always, Barry, it's great to be back with you in the studio, even though we're in different studios.
Well, I feel like I'm in a snow globe, Chuck, because it's Sunday when we're recording this program, and it's been snowing outside my house all day long, although it's really not piling up much.
You know, that's a surprise to me, because up here, it's been dry, it's been cold, but I had no idea you were getting snow down there.
It has snowed all day. I mean, from the moment I got up this morning early before getting ready for church, there were these huge, like, silver dollar-sized flakes coming down, and now it's like this real fine stuff coming down, but it's not sticking on the highways, and it's really not piled up more than maybe about 2 inches on the ground. But it's just been steady all day long. It's kind of been pretty. Feels like I'm living in a snow globe.
Thank goodness for oncoming spring is all I can say.
Well, I figured when this airs, we're only 2 days away from spring. So, in fact, almost any kind of weather in Ohio in the late winter, early spring range. And so it's kind of fun knowing that this too shall pass. But, Chuck, you know, yesterday we were talking about Brent Bozell and his rousing speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC. Now, CPAC is an annual conference that's put on, supported by the Washington Times Foundation, which is the supposedly conservative newspaper in Washington, D.C. And they do it. They bring conservatives in from all over the country. And I read something where the Ohio Young Republican Federation sent 250 young Republicans from the colleges around Ohio to CPAC. And you and I both know some social conservative leaders who wouldn't miss a CPAC unless they were on their deathbed. But well, honestly, there hasn't been much about CPAC that either you or I, from our Christian constitutional perspective, really has much to get excited about.
Well, let's put it this way. We have a mutual friend in Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. And if you want to learn more about that, go to www.americanpolicy.com. But Tom DeWeese used to be a sponsor of CPAC.
A while back, yes.
Yeah, several years ago, and he stopped going completely. He pulled his sponsorship and stopped going because he said, I am not leaving this group. This group has left me.
And the thing has been, over the last few years, there have been things like having people like Mitt Romney, John McCain, and others speak. There have been great fallings out over whether or not to have groups like Go Proud, which is the Republican Homosexual Caucus, actually sponsor or have a booth at the convention. There has been upheavals over the directors and the executives and what they believed and what they stood for and what they advocated for. And Chuck, honestly, I think CPAC was one of those things that started out with a great idea and a zeal, but lost their way, kind of got lost in the wilderness and listened to that siren song of wanting to be a player, wanting to be a kingmaker, wanting to be the place where all of the presidential candidates had to come in order to get the blessing of the straw poll that they do every year, because that's the conservatives saying early on who their favorite is for the presidential nomination in the Republican Party. And I think they've kind of lost their way, Chuck, but this year, and again, I'm going to wait and reserve some judgment, but I'm seeing some glimmers, at least from a couple of the folks, not just the Brent Bozell speech that was given on Saturday that we talked about on yesterday's program, but on a couple of other speeches from folks who were there, that maybe some people will help CPAC see the light and figure out what the fight is really all about in our nation, in politics, in our culture, and will help them possibly return to their first love, as it would be put scripturally.
Well, yes. And what's interesting about that, Barry, is you're right. CPAC has lost its way a bit. When they have people like Dick Morris and Karl Rove speaking as conservatives to CPAC, the Republicans have been talking for years about a bigger tent. Well, that's making the tent so big that it sags to the point that nobody can get under it.
Exactly.
These guys are nothing like conservative. Dick Morris is a former employee of the Clintons, and I'm not necessarily convinced that he's not still an employee of the Clintons, considering some of the stuff, what I've read out of his speech from CPAC. And again, Karl Rove, basically, I think Karl Rove will do anything to chuck the right wing of the party. He wants them gone. I mean, he made a complete idiot of himself election night on Fox News. Said, just wait till the Ohio returns come in. And the Ohio returns came in, and Carl says, well, just keep waiting, keep waiting. All the precincts aren't in. And, well, it became obvious that Ohio was not going to go into the McCain coffers.
Right. His, his electoral vote count was not going to get him there in Ohio.
No, it wasn't going to be happening. So these guys are self-deluded, as much as some of the conservatives are, knowing full well that they have allowed the infiltration of these leftists into the camp, and now they're paying the price because those guys always crave power, and they always end up in charge. Rince Priebus is a tool of the big money, country club Republican, the Rockefeller, and Bush.
Wings of Bush the party, that's right. Well, Chuck, there seems to be a new wind blowing because one of the speakers at CPAC this year was Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Now, Cruz has been getting a lot of attention recently, and he has ever since the election, because, you see, Ted Cruz was never supposed to be in the United States Senate. He was not the party establishment's pick in Texas. He ran as a Tea Party Republican, and he knocked off the Republican pick of the GOP establishment in Texas for the seat that he now holds in the United States Senate. He's also shown himself to be someone who, as they say, not only talks the talk, but seemingly walks the walk, as he stood with Senator Rand Paul on the filibuster over the use of drones, was one of the senators whom, when John McCain decided to take his shot and call them wacko birds, was implicated in that comment. And he says, as he quotes from the CPAC conference, said, I have to admit, when Rand Paul and I first heard that we've heard that, the McCain comment, we thought it was a new kind of drone. So he said, but a standing for liberty and the Constitution makes me a wacko bird, then count me a proud wacko bird. In other words, it's about the Constitution, folks. It's about the fact that we have a rule of law and a government that has a rule that it's supposed to be following, and we need to follow it. That's really kind of a bracing and somewhat shocking comment coming from a Republican in office, Charles.
Well, absolutely. Who basically talks about the Constitution in the Senate or in the House anymore? It's window dressing. They bring it up when they think they can use it as a fulcrum and a lever against the other side of the aisle, but it never actually gets implemented for anything. And here we have Paul and Cruz and some of the other guys who checked in to help Rand Paul during the filibuster, which basically had to do with how the Fourth Amendment was going to be interpreted. A lot of people have made a big deal about how it didn't really mean anything. It meant a lot because it means a lot about, are we going to reclaim what the Fourth Amendment stands for? And that is to be secure in our persons, papers, homes, and effects against unwarranted search and seizures. And not to mention the Fifth Amendment, which was the real question that had to do with being deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
That's right. Not the private hit list written up by the president and a handful of advisors, but actually, and we talked about this on previous programs, and folks, you can go to our website at principledpolicy.com and look up these programs, on a finding of treason against the United States, which is a specific thing that's done through the courts, with Congress being the one that measures out the penalty for treason. Now, Chuck, it's a sad state of affairs when we have to sit here in this day and age and talk about whether or not our government should have a private hit list of American citizens that they kill with unmanned aerial drones, or have the potential of killing with unmanned aerial drones. This is a dystopian kind of vision that we would see in books like 1984 or Brave New World. Well, we're here. And thankfully, we have some people in national prominence, such as Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, who I think are zoning in on what matters, and that is the due process of law as defined by the United States Constitution. Because without that, we're left to the whims of whoever's holding the reins of power deciding what is and isn't lawful.
And that's the bottom line. Is the Constitution the law of the land, or is the law of the land whatever the will and whim of the lawmakers is? And Cruz had a dust-up with Dianne Feinstein over her attempt at assault weapons ban, in which she basically came out and said, you're disrespecting my years of experience here in this body, and meaning the Senate, over what the Constitution is. And the fact is that he was disrespecting that because she has shown no inclination to be limited by the limits that are placed in the United States Constitution. And basically, you had guys who are quote-unquote, now this is a guy that CPAC would truly love, and that's Joe Scarborough, come out and call Ted Cruz ignorant because he was actually making reference to the United States Constitution and the section of the Constitution in the Second Amendment that says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And Scarborough was calling him on the carpet for not understanding what the word infringed means. Now, Cruz, of course, didn't take that lying down. He came back and said, well, I think this is sort of a paraphrase. He said, Joe Scarborough needs to go out and get a dictionary.
Yeah, exactly. And he's exactly right. Now, Cruz also said in his speech to CPAC, he says, we got to make a choice between either surrendering or standing up to defend our liberty. And he talked about on guns, on drones, on spending, on the debt. Do we surrender or do we stand up right now? And then he ends up by saying, on the Constitution, which honestly, Chuck, is the bottom line on this whole debate. Do we surrender or stand up now? You know what, Chuck? It's a positive thing to see that CPAC disinvited Chris Christie and Bob McDonnell of Virginia, two people who are not truly conservative. But the question remains, will the rank-and-file, quote-unquote, conservative Republicans there, who all cheered and who voted 80% that Rand Paul would be their pick for the presidential nomination in that CPAC straw poll on Saturday, are they going to end up swallowing real hard and surrendering when the party brings them a Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan combo? Or are they going to stand up and say, I'm not going to take this anymore, and be like Brent Bozell and say, listen, you keep saying, you keep putting it off, it's done. You're over with, you're out of here, it's time for us to have truly constitutional conservative leadership in this country. That's the thing that we hope for. And as we're working with teaching people about the Constitution and they're contacting their leadership and their officials and they're getting involved, let's hope that what seems to be a momentum shift starting will pick up speed and go back the way of adherence to our founding documents.
And let's tell people that really, folks, don't sit on the sideline during this thing.
Absolutely not.
And here's what I would do. I would not get involved in the party, honestly. I have done some volunteer work for the Republican Party during the Ken Blackwell campaign. And I'll be quite honest. I came out of that experience feeling like I needed to stand in a shower for about 45 minutes.
Understood. Definitely.
And I was hoodwinked into doing that job by some guy I know that was a consultant for the campaign. Who was that? Oh, yeah, it was Barry Sheets.
I was going to say, we're going to cut this portion out of the program.
Is going to get edited out. No, but Eric, you're right. Ken Blackwell, this is a great example too, by the way. Ken Blackwell was making all the right sounds. He was saying all the right things. I still think Ken Blackwell's a good guy. I think he's allowed himself to be sort of shifted in his thinking by being in too long in contact with some of these Republican establishment types. He needs to get back into the grassroots a little bit. Uh-huh. But anyway, this is a perfect example. Remember how we're being told by liberal Republicans that we've got to carry the banner. We've got to vote for the candidates they give us. We can't allow the other side to win. Even if they give us a liberal, we have to hold our nose and vote for him. What did the liberals in the Republican Party do when Ken Blackwell ran for governor of Ohio?
They actively supported, voted for, and ran with Democrat Ted Strickland.
They scattered like the cockroaches they are as soon as the light came on that Blackwell was going to be their guy and it wasn't going to be liberal Jim Petro.
That's exactly what happened.
Bottom line, they came down and basically said, not only are we not going to vote for him, we're going to openly support Ted Strickland. So ladies and gentlemen, the next time some liberal Republican comes up to you and says, you've got to support our guy, said, yeah, where were you during the Blackwell campaign? And the chances are he was on the other side. Or if he wasn't, it was two cheers for Ken Blackwell, if you get my meaning. Less than enthusiastic support.
Less than enthusiastic support. That's exactly what happened. But we hope that maybe with leaders like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and some others, that there may be a time that many of these people will say, maybe it's time we stood for the Constitution and the rule of law, and then let the leaders fall into that instead of supporting the leaders and then wondering how we fit the Constitution and the rule of law around their rhetoric.
Oh, exactly. With that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.